to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 101. Tonight, I have a very good close friend here in Panama, David Williams. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here.
I just want to mention a few things. The website does have all the previous radio programs. There is a new YouTube channel that you can go to. Strength for the Journey Radio is now playing 24/7, either on the internet or you can go to TuneIn Radio and do a search for S4TJ and then a space radio, and you can listen to it 24/7 through TuneIn Radio. So with that, David, we have some things that have been on our heart tonight just regarding some of the experiences that we've had in moving to a foreign land, leaving our comfort zone. What does it take? Many people, God will call them and tell them to do something or ask them to do something. And it's really no different than it was in the days of Jesus when they all began to make excuses. And he said, come follow me. And he said, well, I've just bought a yoke of oxen. I just married a wife. I need to go bury my father. There's always something that somebody was looking at. And what I'm realizing, when God calls us and we hear his voice and he tells us to do something, we have one of two choices. And I believe it's based upon the condition of our heart. We'll either find a reason to obey or find an excuse to disobey. And what we would like to do on this program tonight is just to encourage people to obey and to do away with the excuses, because there will be many things that we'll think along the way of why we can't do something. I mean, just think of Moses, you know, well, I can't speak, you know, but still that was not, the excuse didn't fly, you know, here, use your brother. But there's all sorts of things that God's going to ask us to do. And there's always a great reward for our obedience. And many people will never even find out what the blessing was on the other side if they don't leave. You know, the disciples were asked to go to the other side of the lake, and Jesus would meet them on the other side, and there was a storm that arose. Well, they had all sorts of reasons to turn the boat around and go back. There's just all sorts of times when you think you're even wondering if you even heard from God because of the storms. But the one thing that I've always learned is that once you know that you've heard from God, you got to hang on to that word like it's a moor on the shore, because there's always going to be winds and everything else are going to try to take you loose, to drift you out to la-la land out in the middle of the ocean. But I've really been encouraged by a number of people recently that have stepped out in faith coming to Panama. And we want to share some of those testimonies to encourage people that whatever it is God has called you to do, there's always provision to do what God's called you to do. And if we just look for a reason to obey, there will be manna laying on the ground in the morning, and there will be provision for you from, seems like sometimes out of nowhere. But David, I want you to just kind of share a little bit of your experience, because you deal with a lot of people on a daily basis. You have a ministry here, BoqueteHelp.com, and I like the slogan that you put on that about helping the obedient find their place. Why don't you share a little bit about your experience with just your coming down here and then how God has placed you where he did, helping others do the same.
Well, absolutely. It's been such a joy over the last year or so to see all of the people that have come here, because there are some tremendous testimonies, and there are things that we would regard as tragedies as well, and some heartbreaking stories of people who have lost heart and gone back. And I'm not pretending to know where anyone is supposed to live, whether in Panama or the United States, but there are some tremendous stories of encouragement where we have seen people come and just really, in obedience to the Lord, whether in their strength or in their weakness, follow him and to see the Lord provide for them. We know of one family. You know, it's interesting to go back to what you were saying in the book of Revelation. So many times when the Lord is addressing the churches, he says, to him who overcomes, you know, I will give this. To him who overcomes, I will give that. And so the promises are for those who overcome. And without facing hardship, without facing some kind of stretching or testing, how could it be called overcoming? I mean, there is something to perseverance and finding our strength in the Lord and just trusting him to win the battle for us. And that's the mark of an overcomer. And so it's been such a joy over the course of the past year to see families who have come and done that. And, you know, I think on another level, you know, the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom whose values and whose culture is vastly different from anything that we've seen on planet Earth, I dare say. Whether we think we come from a Christian nation or not, I dare say that the kingdom of heaven, its culture, its ways, its inhabitants, its citizens are far different than anything we've seen on planet Earth. So we are all called as disciples of Christ at some point to pass into this to a new nation, to a place where the culture is totally different. And so I think this has just been kind of a warm-up for a lot of us coming to Panama. You know, it is the end of life as we've known it in the United States. And the culture is different. The language is different. Most of us come here not knowing a lick of Spanish and not understanding the new people that we're living amongst. So there is some overcoming to be done. And, you know, I'm not, again, we're never playing travel agents for Panama. We're not trying to tell other people what the Lord may be speaking to their lives. But for those who have come and who have felt that the Lord is calling them here, you know, I know of one family that moved here. They have children, and they're a young couple, and they moved here with less than $200. That was months ago. You know, you couldn't feed one person for that period of time if that's all you had. But the Lord has been faithful to supply, and I've never known this family to express their need or to beg or to borrow or steal or anything like that. But the Lord has provided miraculous ways to sustain this family, and I believe that he is going to honor their faithfulness in following him. They've never been without a roof over their head. You know, they've probably lived in 8 or 9 different places in the few months that they've been here, but the Lord has been gracious to them. He's been gracious to me. He's been gracious to you.
You know, this is what's really amazing, just to see the attitude that comes out in people when the temperature goes up in their life, whether they start complaining and griping and finding fault, and instead of looking at the bright side and be thankful in everything, they start finding critical things. There's something comes out of them that's critical in nature, and before you know it, they, after leaving with every intent of leaving for good, they go back. And I think about how in Deuteronomy, that I believe it's in chapter 28, the end of chapter 28, but it says that, you know, if you will not obey me in the land that I brought you, I will send you back by ships. And it's like, you know, it's like you get a round-trip ticket if your attitude isn't right. If you're going to murmur and complain on the way to his promised land, there is no place for you but to perish in the wilderness or go back. And one thing I've really admired about you, David, is that when you came here, you didn't have a lot of provision, but yet the Lord provided for you, even when it wasn't what you've been used to as far as the size of a house. But I remember at one time that you gave me a little tour on the house that you were moving into, and you kept saying, well, it's not very big, but we're thankful. Everything ended with, but we're thankful. And I thought, you know, if that attitude would be something that everyone would grasp and hold on to, no matter what you're going through, but be thankful in everything, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus, that is the antidote for every injection of poison that the enemy tries to put in our spirit. Even in the worst of days, if you can find something to be thankful for, everything changes. And I know that is, seems to be one of the common denominators between people who stay in God's favor and provision is on them, is there's a feeling and a sense of gratefulness that is expressed in their hearts. And those that have much, but they find something to complain about and be critical about, they end up going back. I think God just turns their heart and allows their desire to want to go back. Even though they had no intent, their intent was to go, and this was where God was leading them. This is just an analogy of our life, really. It doesn't. Panama is just an example for us to really look at our lives. Are we where we're at right now with what God's given us? Are we thankful? Or are we complaining because we don't have something? You know, this is what I think has really been amazing, is that some people, some families that have come here with very little, there's never been a lack. They've always had. I know one lady that came here with one child. She's a single mother, had a limited amount. In fact, she was down to a point where she only had enough money to buy a ticket to go back. She was down to that point. And I remember she sat across from me at a Thanksgiving dinner, and the Lord just put her in that place because we began to talk. And I said, did God call you to come here? She said, yes, God called us to come here. And I said, has he told you to go back yet? She said, no. She said, then why don't you make a commitment to the Lord? Lord, I'm not going back. I'll die before I go back unless you tell me to go back. And it wasn't very long after that she shared a testimony of how money miraculously showed up into her bank account, and everything was being provided. A home was given to her for free while somebody else had to go house sit at another house. And now the Lord's given her idea to create a creative idea that she's going to sell, and she has multiple opportunities now to sell this thing. But it's just amazing. Now, she just had to go through that wall of water, you know, that difficult place, and the manna began to rain on the other side. If you think about it, you know, everybody wants to know the manna is going to rain before they go across the Red Sea. You know, where are we going to eat? Well, I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to the other side until I know what's on the menu on the other side. Where am I going to get water? No, it didn't work that way. I think sometimes Pharaoh's army is a great motivator to get us through that wall of water, but God is always, if he's leading you somewhere, there's always going to be the provision on the other side. We just have to get to the other side to find it.
Well, and you're right, and it's our obedience and our stepping out in faith that unlocks that, you know, if you will, or releases the hand of God for that blessing. You know, I think of Elijah going to the widow at Zarephath, and, you know, when he comes first after the brook dries up, he comes to Elijah and he says, I have commanded this widow to feed you. And past tense, in other words, I've already given her a command. And so Elijah shows up in Zarephath and he says, hey, I could use some food and drink. And she says, well, no, I'm down to the last little bit. I'm getting ready to make this little bit of bread, and my son and I are then going to go off and die. And I'll tell you what, I believe she was speaking the truth. Had she not acted in obedience to what God had already commanded her to do, I think that's exactly what would have happened. She would have eaten the last of that meal, and they would have gone and died. But because she was able to listen to Elijah's words and be obedient to what the Lord had already spoken to her, hey, the blessing was released, and she was sustained through that entire famine.
So the obedience is what refilled the flour and the oil. It kept filling it up. I felt
that's right.
Many times I've thought about this since we've come here, about the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, and really what was that oil in their lamp that gave them light. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that it was their obedience that filled the lamp. They were obedient to God to hear from him, to get extra oil or whatever it was. The foolish ones were disobedient and didn't put extra oil. But the difference between the foolish and the wise were obedience and disobedience. And I think that goes a long way with all of us, is that if we are wise, we're obedient, because God gives us an understanding, or he gives us instructions that we follow and that we obey. And that's what makes a wise person wise. If you had all the knowledge to do something and didn't do it, you'd be foolish. So it's obedience to what God's prompted us to do that opens his hand of a provision. I know that the Lord told me this a number of years ago, but he kind of confirmed it in different ways. He said, obedience is the key that will unlock the door to your future. He gave me an analogy, or I had an experience one time that only an angel from the Lord could have participated in, but I was supposed to, had a body shop, and I was working on a car, and I had to get this particular job done that evening, and so I got there to the shop early that morning, and I began to look for the keys. You know, the keys are usually in the ignition, but the key wasn't in the ignition of this particular car, and I went and looked on the place where I always put my keys, and they weren't there, and I looked everywhere throughout the shop. I couldn't find them. And so I finally called the guy up, and he said, well, I got an extra set of keys, but you got to come to my apartment and get it. So I went all the way up, probably 20 minutes out away from the shop to go get these keys. I came back, and I went to put the keys in ignition, and they clanked against the other set of keys that were not in the ignition switch when I was in the car earlier. And nobody can get in the shop but me. I was the only one at the time that I did all the work at the time at my shop. And when those keys clanked together, I probably was as white as a ghost or sheet, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, obedience is the key. Through disobedience, I'll take away your keys. And I just began to weep. I just put my head over the steering wheel, just began to cry, because I knew I was a young Christian, and God was dealing with me in some things, and he was just making this point that there is no option for disobedience. Obedience is the only way that I'm going anywhere. I'll be sitting in a car with my tires, and they're not going to move until I obey. And so I just realized that this is the way it is with the Lord, and that disobedience is not an option. He doesn't wink at it. He's calling his servants right now to obedience, because the plan of God in everybody's life hinges upon their obedience. And many lives will be lost or saved, or your life will be fruitful or unfruitful, and it all will hinge upon a man's obedience or disobedience. And people don't realize how important it is, but this is everything. It's everything right now. And this is a critical time in the history of the church and history of the world. And God's calling his people to attention. You know, when you're in the Lord's army, there's no option to disobey a commanding officer.
That's right.
You're out quick.
Well, and I think, you know, like the gratitude that you spoke of earlier, it's what enables us to be obedient. You know, if we have a heart of gratitude, then no cost is too great. And if we keep in mind, if we don't lose our first love, and we recognize we're not our own, we're bought at a price. You know, with the precious blood of Jesus, we are bought. We're not our own. And so then we look at anything that comes our way, and we say, you know what, I don't deserve this good thing. And our Father is the giver of good gifts. You know, if we being evil know how to give our children good gifts, Jesus said, you know, how much more will our Father in heaven give to us? And, you know, Paul says, you know, this is again, Christianity 101. He says, having food and clothing, we'll be content with that. And Jesus talks about that we're not even supposed to bother with food and clothing. We're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then our Father in heaven, who knows we need all these things, will take care of them for us. And I don't know anyone that runs around naked, and I don't know anyone that runs around hungry. Especially here in Panama, you don't need much clothing, and there's fruit dropping from the trees. So, but you know, in the worst of places, you know, there are very few that are starving or naked, and I realize that because of sin, that condition does exist in some places in the earth, but it probably doesn't exist for anyone hearing our voice right now. And so, out of that, we need to be grateful. The Lord doesn't owe us that, but He does take care of His children, and so we need to concern ourselves with weightier issues and realize that. You know, that our life is more than food and clothing.
Yes, and you know, I know there's many people right now that are wanting to, maybe God's put on your heart to do something, and you just figure, well, if I just had a little bit more, then I could do something. I had, my son had a dream about a family member here maybe 6 months ago, and this particular family member is not here. He knows God's called him here, but it was very interesting, because in this dream, he was loading up a pickup truck and a trailer, and he was putting stuff on the trailer, and my son in this dream went to go ask if he could help load the trailer. He says, no, I got it handled. It shouldn't be much longer. I'll have it done. So he went back in the house, and then a little while later, he went back out and noticed he was still loading the trailer. Well, he looked, and he saw that the trailer and the truck were on sand, and the trailer was becoming so loaded that there was actually boxes that were falling off the trailer, and the tires were about halfway buried into the sand. And he tried to pull the truck out, and the truck was stuck. And about that time, he saw like storm clouds on the horizon beginning to come toward him. So he thought, I need to get out. I need to go get back inside the house where I'm protected, because he could see this like a sandstorm was blowing in. So he went back in the house, and when he looked outside the window, this person had Muslim men around him with guns to the head. And he said this evil-looking look was on his face. And I thought to myself, you know, really, what is our destiny worth? Is it worth loading up a wagon so full that we feel like we're going to be secure before we can make this trip with God? God's already given us whatever we need. And it's really evidenced by some of the people that have come here with less than $200 with children. And somehow there's been manna on the ground when they arrive. And it's just a matter of being obedient. I mean, you would never want to do something unless you heard God tell you to do it. But if God is speaking to people, you just have no choice really but to obey. And the sad thing is that if you don't obey God, you'll never know what was on the other side. You'll never know what God had. I look back in the last 3.5 years of my life, and I think if what would not have happened in my life if I or my family had not come here. Everything that has happened is like beyond whatever I could have imagined. But all this would never have happened had I not obeyed to come, not knowing why I came. And this is the thing that God told Abraham. He said, leave and I'll show you. And one of the, probably the biggest excuses that people have is show me and I'll leave. I mean, sometimes we get resumes from people like, well, if I find a job, if I have a job offer here in the foreign land or in a foreign land, I'll leave. Well, you know what? Worse, you know, faith operates a little bit differently. Faith operates by trust. And if God told you to do something, you just have to do it. He made it very clear to us. He gave me a word that you have to be where I tell you to be, and you have to be there when I tell you to be there. So I knew not only the location was important, but the timing was important. And the timing is important because there's a purpose that has to be fulfilled in your stay, in your whatever you're there for. So if you're delayed, you know, there's many things that may never get done. I can't imagine if I would thought, well, I don't really need to come until 2 years later or 3 years later. I think, wow, what have I don't think the opportunities would have been there for me. I think it was being at the right place at the right time that the opportunities that we have been so blessed to have here have happened. And I think the same thing with you too, David, is that your obedience to come when you came was very critical in what God has done with you and your family in the last year and a half.
Well, and I do think, I mean, aside from Panama, I would say as a universal truth that our obedience is critical in the lives of those around us. It is the bridge that enables them to walk into their obedience. It provokes them and makes a way.
That's right. It's like your obedience is like a machete that's going through a jungle that's ahead of you, and it's God's grace that's slicing through the brush of the jungle. You know, the grace of God is cutting through and blazing a path for you to go. But guess what? You're leaving behind. You're leaving behind a trail of obedience for other people. You know, when I got saved, I wanted to change the world, and the Lord grabbed me by the neck collar and said, let me tell you something, son. You're never going to change anybody. The only guy you'll ever change is the guy you see in the mirror every morning. But the changes you allow me to make in you, I'll use to change others. And he began to show me that it's like a seed. You can only reproduce in other people what you already are. You can't reproduce in others what you want to be or what you hope to be. It's what you are. So we have to allow God to change us, and then he uses those changes, those acts of obedience that cause those changes, to make a difference in somebody else's life. And that's what changes the world around us. It's not a bunch of word, cheap talk. You know, people are looking for real things. They're looking for truth. They're looking for, you know, whatever God's done in us, they want to see that can happen in our life. And honestly, if you look about it, if you look at it this way, the seed inside every fruit is seed for reproduction. They're looking, the world is looking for fruit from Christians, the real true fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. And inside that fruit of our obedience to God is a seed that can be reproduced in another person's life. And this is really what is the only thing that's going to change the world around us, is what the world sees in us, they want in our own life.
That's right. Amen.
So I know that many people right now are listening, and I just really want to encourage you that that obedience is the key that will unlock the door to your future. Whatever future God has for you, that your obedience to God is what will make all the difference in the world. There's many times it's very difficult. Whatever God wants us to do is many times a very difficult thing. It's not easy. It's not easy, really. People say, just say this little prayer and you got it made, you know. But honestly, that's just the gun that went off. The race has begun. Now you got a walk that is a very lonely walk sometimes. It's a narrow road of obedience, and this is where God's called us to walk. Dave, we got about another hour, or hour, I wish, about another minute. Do you have something else that you feel just to encourage the people just to step out? It's okay.
Well, I keep thinking about your dream, the dream that your son had about the family member that felt called to leave and did not, and was continuing to pack possessions and goods onto a vehicle that was sitting on sand. And you know, it's hard not to draw the parallel between Jesus saying that the foolish man built his house on sand, and you know, so when the storm came, there was a great fall of that house. But the wise man builds his house on the rock, and so I know that's a simple Bible truth. We all learned it in Sunday school as children, probably, but it's something that no matter where we are in our walk, we need to be conscious of right now, that we need to be looking at eternal values and priorities, and not be caught up in foolishness, not be caught up in trying to attain more goods and store them. That's right. In a system, and perhaps even in a nation that is going down.
Well, so, if you think about it, he said that here, those who hear my sayings and don't do them is the one who built his house upon the sand. Is hear my words and do them, you build your house upon a rock, that when the storms come and the winds blow, that the house stood. And we just encourage you to do whatever God says, and you will build your house upon a rock. So thanks again for joining us, David. Thanks for joining us again.
Yes, appreciate thank you it. For having me.
Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.